All right, this meeting is called to order at 11:01, Leon County Research and Development Authority Executive Committee meeting. First on the agenda, we have introduction of guests. Seeing no guests here today, we'll move on to the approval of participation by electronic means. I see no request to join by electronic means, so we'll move on to the next one. Modifications to the agenda. Mr. Michael.
Yeah, just added one page to the very back. It's not stapled to your package that we'll go through. We went through a very similar page at the board meeting, and I literally updated parts of that this morning.
Is there a motion to approve the modification to the agenda?
So moved.
A second?
Second.
All right, all those in favor of the modification say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Modification is approved. Moved on to public comment.
We did not receive any.
All right, seeing no public comment, we'll move on to number six, approval of draft meeting minutes, attachment A.
Mr. Chair, those appear to be appropriate. I move approval.
Second.
All right, a motion for acceptance of the draft minutes has been made and seconded. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Number seven, Treasurer's Report, Mr. Ramsey.
Members of the Executive Committee, I would say to you that we are tracking along kind of where we have been for the last number of months. Typically, our expenses exceed our revenue, but we are approaching a point in time in which cash and investments will be below $1 million. We're not quite there yet, but we're moving in that direction. We might be at the level of somewhere around $30,000 of negative expenditure per month. The month of December was a decent month considering where we are. We had some $53,000 in cash left over and some $1 million in investments. If we look at revenues and expenses, we'll see that on a combined statement, we had some $59,800 of revenues for the month of December, but $228,000 of expenses, showing an operating loss of $168,000. Our total depreciation amortization was $149,800. Right below that should be a figure of $33,600. That will be amended as the reports are entered into the record. The audit continues. I'll ask our executive director if he sees any issues with the audit at this time.
The audit scheduling moving along as planned. We're working on hopefully finalizing some of the things that are due on our court right now for the annual retirement element of our audit package, huh? Yeah, so that, of course, turns out to be the largest narrative section of the entire audit report is the compliance with the retirement plan for the state of Florida. So,
yep.
But otherwise, on target.
All right, and your proposed projected cash on hand at 531 is what, sir?
Can I back up a little bit before?
Yep,
I, sure. 531, just a couple quick things on the financials. Just David gave you a quick summary. I would mention that through the first 3 months of the fiscal year, revenues were $20,000 higher than budgeted, and expenses were $40,000 below. So we're $60,000 to the good in cash. David obviously includes depreciation and some of the non-cash items when he gives you the summary. So again, tracking ahead of budget, fortunately, on those things as we go. Cash on hand at the end of the year, the way I describe it, David gave you what's really in the balance sheet items in terms of what's in the investment accounts and what's in operating accounts. We have $924,000. The way I calculate that is I net out who we owe money to, which include $100,000, you know, to FSU, other obligations that have not been paid, so they're not reflected really. Some of which we haven't billed for, frankly, so they're not really in an AP too clearly. The plan was to be at $910,000, so we were $15,000 ahead through December in actual cash. As far as where I expect to be in May 31st, if the lab, if you recall, we talked about hoping the lab would be transferred. One of two dates is what I gave back at the last board meeting. It was January 31st or May 31st. What were those two bands? I'm giving those kind of bands, if you will, for where cash would be. It's not going to happen January 31st. I believe in very optimistically that it will happen. I mean, that I think realistically, rather, that it will happen by before March 31st for a variety of reasons, which I'll explain when we get there. If that happens at 531, we'll have $690,000 in the bank. If we still have the lab on 531, which again, I don't expect that to be the case, but I want to consistently give you that information, we'll be about $620,000. Both of those numbers are higher than I had originally projected because we've run a little better for the first quarter of the year. And then again, remember, that's May 31st that I'm talking about as a date. Does that answer the questions, or does anybody, have I just given you enough numbers to make it completely confusing?
No, it makes sense. Okay. Makes sense. Any questions?
Not for me.
Move the treasurer's report to be accepted for filing.
I'll second that. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, motion carries. Next, we've got number 8 with the lab IPTLH. Mr. Kramer.
We continue. I think you guys in your package have where we are in FF&E. We've got about $140,000 left to spend. We've got about $280,000 in the bank, but some of that's committed. It just hasn't been paid for yet for certain pieces of equipment and projects in process. I am leaning on FSU. They are preparing a list. They've got about a $500,000 list of projects. They have assured me that in the very near future, they will prioritize those so that we can get to work and consume the balance of the FF&E, hopefully over the next several months. Now, some of that's a matter of when you can slot in with the mechanical contractor to do the work in terms of how fast we'll be able to spend it. We do have a new member in the lab starting. They've started now, but we gave them a free month, maybe two, to get them rolling. I don't think they're actually on site yet, but they were trying to move some equipment. They will be starting in March 1st. It's $1,000 a month, a nice tenant that we vetted. We continue to have interest. We are having vetting meetings every couple of weeks with a potential client at this point, or member, I should say. We are doing a board of directors member meeting for the IPTLH immediately after this meeting for those of you who would like to attend. You're welcome to join us. I think everybody in here knows we had a fire during the month of December in Piersica's lab. The good news is that the fire extinguisher system worked immediately. Sprinklers came on. The bad news is the damage from the water far exceeded the damage really from the fire. It was a lithium battery that caught on fire, just sitting on a table. It had been sitting there for several hours, bursting the flames. The system turned on immediately, and within 6 seconds or something. And it's a zone system, so literally only one sprinkler head came on.
Yeah.
So it's not like the whole building. Fortunately, it was on the first floor. Within 15 minutes, water coming out of the building. The fire department shut it off. We have gotten the mitigation work done. There was a cost of $56,000 from a company that came out that night to just get the water out, cut the drywall out, remove the carpets. The quotes for repairing everything back is around $114,000. The service master is the name of the company who did the work and gave a quote for the repair, and the insurance company are tightening those numbers up with one another. The insurance company has already sent us $77,000.
Insurance company of the...
Our insurance company.
Our insurance
company. Yes, I'll take you through the process. Our insurance company handles the claim. We reported it to our insurance company immediately the next morning. They had their people come out. Lots of pictures, of course. They are inspectors. We reported to them. They then file a claim against the tenant. So that's what it's called, a subrogation process. They're really two different people in the insurance spectrum. We're dealing with our insurance agent. They have a whole other department that will go after Piersica's insurance, which they are required to obtain, which we do have, and they have it in place. So we received $77,000 already, which was for the repair. Our number was 114 that we got. They calculated out at about 102. So they sent us $77,000 because we have a $25,000 deductible.
Got it.
We will go after that $25,000 deductible in the subrogation effort. But in the meantime, they are still a couple thousand dollars apart on the mitigation work, which I'm hoping to have resolved in the next day or two, so that I can turn these guys loose on the repair.
So you mentioned that the insurance was specifically for the repair. Is any portion of the service master's triage?
Oh, yeah. They're 4,000 apart on that one.
Okay.
So my hunch is they will get to the same. But they filed that claim directly with the insurance company. And the insurance company said it should be 52. Service master said they sent 56. Said they spent 56. Some of that was literally, we have this happened at 11 a.m. on your report. Said you guys said it happened at 11 p.m. Why are you charging us for after hours? And so service master, literally, I saw the email traffic this week. We filled the form out. It happened at midnight. They were here at midnight. So they can charge a premium. So literally that will tighten up. It will not be a substantial difference. But that's the process these guys go through. It is line item by line item. For those of you that are familiar with this, I've never been through it before. So anyway, we're getting close on that. I hope they can use the lab, but if you walk back there, you'll see there's half the wall missing on the floor. The service master folks did a beautiful job with the cleanup. But anyway.
How's Persica doing?
I was just going to ask.
In terms of their business?
Well, obviously
they have four. Remember, they have four or five other offices and lab space. So they're working still, and they can actually work in that space, but they have to be at the ready to say, when I say, hey, service master's coming tomorrow to start repairing, they got to get out of their way.
Yeah.
The plan will be to do Piersica space first, and worried secondary about the offices that aren't occupied or the lab that's not occupied. Good news, it's a fair amount of work, but it's cosmetic, you know, sheetrock, concrete floor, didn't get harmed.
I went to that lunch and learn that took place about, what, 2 or 3 weeks before the fire on Persica, which was a very impressive company, still is, I think. How does this, to the point that you can share this information, I know a lot of proprietary, but how does this affect their development of investment and resources? In other words, what's the future? Has the future of Persica been affected?
I don't know the answer to that. I know it has probably set some timelines back, mostly because the equipment that was involved and got damaged from the water is not stuff you can just order on Amazon.
Yeah.
This stuff has a long lead time, and they have delivery dates and deadlines.
The federal,
DOD,
federal
yes,
grants.
They do. So I don't know the status of that. I do know they have sent out a number of investor reports that I get every month. And updates, and none of them have mentioned the fire. That's a part of the thing I see. I'm not an investor. Yeah. It's a for public consumption report, so I'm sure it goes to parties beyond their investor group.
Yeah.
But nothing I've seen in a report. They are constantly asking, when are you going to start working? But again, I think they're working around the challenges. But yeah, I assume there's been some kind of a setback, but I don't know any more than that.
Okay.
Is there anything we should require them to reduce the fact that a future fire could occur?
Yes, they have a fireproof box for the batteries they're not working on. Mm. And they also have policy, frankly, where they're supposed to, if you make a battery, this was a battery, frankly, that they had, it was a new design, of course, and that means a new chemistry mixture, if you will, and they didn't like the performance. So they were going to do what's off-gas it and then destroy it. But they were working on other things, so they set it off to the side. And then 4 hours later, my understanding is it burst into flames. If it had gone into the device they have there, one of two places, it could have gone into the glove box, and it could have also gone into their firebox, which is what we have now reminded them. That's where these things should go. And that's where, because immediately it's interesting, if you go in there right after the fire, all the batteries were in the firebox. Right? They had figured that out. And interestingly enough, just to, not to belabor this, the lithium iron battery fire, again, I'm not an expert, of course, it's only been represented to me, that would have burned out in 25 seconds because that's how it works. Unfortunately, because of the nature of this space and the building and the fire suppression system, it's not built to wait 30 seconds. It took it about 6 seconds.
No.
Right. So the insurance company's having a little bit of fun with that, right? Because the damage was directly all done by the water. So they applied our water deductible. That's where the 25 came from, instead of a fire deductible of 5,000. That's how insurance companies do. They get to pick the higher deductible. Again, we will go after that. I don't know what the timing. So in addition to the FEMA claims, I'll have this insurance claim as we move towards our process with that issue. I'll get a second insurance process going.
And just for clarification, you gave us some information, you gave us some background on our insurance provider interacting with Persica's insurance provider, but are we dealing with Persica's insurance provider?
Not directly.
We're just dealing with
our insurance company deals with that.
Yep. Gotcha.
And our insurance company has another party that, of course, Bradley and Alyssa have been involved, where they're asking us all sorts of questions to go through the subrogation process. And I remind our folks, look, these people work for us. I know these questions and these accusations they're throwing at us to make us answer these questions seems like, wow, they're not on our team. But they're trying to get prepared for the things they're going to get when the other insurance company inevitably fights them. So I said, don't take it as they don't trust you. They're just trying to have everything ready for the conversations that they are used to.
Got it. Okay.
Again, none of us have any experience with it, so that's it. But I do. I said, she's working for us. I know it doesn't seem like it. She's working for us.
All right. Thanks for the update.
Yep. And then the last thing there I've got on number 8 is that the IPTLH, one of the things I'm starting the process of trying to figure out, if you recall, the money for the FF&E in this building was gained through a state appropriation through TSC, and we spent the money for the purpose of outfitting the NFIL, the lab. As we move towards whatever our future looks like, I'm trying to figure out what the best path to move that FF&E to Florida State, and maybe to the Research Foundation. I did do some preliminary homework that a not-for-profit, a 501c3, which IPTLH is, can transfer its assets upon dissolution to another not-for-profit. Mm-hmm. So we know that can happen. Now, there's some mechanics, FSU, remember there's a $4 million loan from the research. We're trying to figure out the best way to do that, but that is on the radar of a thing, of a task that will need to be dealt with so that the assets themselves are in the right place with the building. I don't have an answer, but that is going to be a step that the IPTLH, and ultimately probably will have the LCRDA board approve that exercise, whatever, is the best path. And so Melissa Van Sickle, our corporate counsel, is working on thinking through that as well. And I'm going to keep TSC in the loop, too. I don't want them to read about what happened. I want them to know in advance what we're thinking and how we're doing, to see if they have any kind of heartburn with anything.
Okay.
And that's all I had
on the break?
Yeah, that's all I had. And again, cash has gone up, actually, since I gave you my 1231 numbers, because I've gotten $77,000 from the insurance company that we haven't used yet. I got $118,000 today from GSA. With no backup data, so I don't know. I know what it is. It's the adjustment in rent.
They sent it to you today?
Yeah, hit today.
Okay, good.
$118,000.
Why did they send it to you, though?
Dude, we've been paying this for 16 months. We don't have time for that conversation. But yeah, I knew I'd surprise you with that one. $118,000. And so what it is when their lease expired, we had agreed to an extension, temporarily, jointly, three-way extension, even though we didn't own it. Let's be clear. I signed off on an extension for the building we do not own, and an increase in the rate that we had worked out with Florida State. And so I think this 118 is the differential for some period of time that I don't know when, because at this point I have no backup or reconciliation of what the additional. They're still paying us the 25 a month too. So right now I went from yesterday owing FSU around 100 to now owing them around 220.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But that was just this morning.
Okay.
So it just happened.
Well, we can't use that money to go to the races, you know. We got to figure out what...
Well, as long as we pay it back.
Any other questions on number 8? All right, moving on to number 9, Mr. Kramer, LCRDA.
RDA. Just everybody should know, and I think I shared this, that the paperwork for the transfer of the grant associated with the building, the $17 million, that paperwork was executed on December 11th, 2025. So that transfer is in the works. There are two primary steps that have to be accomplished in terms of to kind of make sure that the transfer, and I don't know what to say the date would be, but it is affected. And one is that we have to get the ground underneath the lab transferred from the RDA to Florida State, and the mortgage that the EDA has on this lab has to be amended such that Florida State is now everything they do is subordinated to the existing mortgage that the EDA has rather than the LCRDA. Both of those are in process. I submitted the documents to DEP for the ground under this lab last Friday or Thursday, so that's in the works right now. And I expect that to, and this is why I'm pretty confident that we're going to get all this done before the end of March. The other thing that has happened, our insurance company did put us on notice. I should have mentioned this in the IPTLH, but it's really an RDA issue, that they will not be renewing our coverage by the end of, you know, March 24th because of the fire. Which is a little weird because there is a subrogation claim. They may literally end up with zero exposure. But I think that's a standard move. They do that while it's being sorted out, and we'll deal with it. Yeah. So we won't have insurance on the building with them.
After what date?
March 31st.
March, no. March 24th, 26th. What is it? 26. Yeah. So that becomes an element of our deadline as well. But the work to do isn't that much, and it's really all on our end we can control all the deadlines for the transfer of the amendment to the mortgage and the dirt transfer. We'll be able to get that done with DEP because this is pretty clean. And that would be the last of the real estate assets in the original 200 acres when this transferred. Ponds and roads have transferred. That was January 16th. Last Friday.
So let me say that back to you, just to make sure that I'm understanding correctly. The insurance company for IPTLA, for RDA?
RDA and the building.
The insurance company for RDA is dropping us after March 24th
for the
building. So if in theory we didn't transfer the building until the March 31 timeframe, there would be a week where we would be naked with no insurance. Okay.
Yep. And remember, we don't go out for new insurance quotes until about 4 to 5 weeks ahead of time. You don't go out today for a March 26th renewal date. Our insurance company a rep from Brown & Brown said, listen, if you went to him and said, hey, this is in subrogation and we need 60 more days, that's apparently a very common thing that an insurance company does. They may charge a lot for it, but he said that's a common thing. So, again, my first rodeo with some of these things, so I'm just giving you the data that I have for the moment.
One day that Michael didn't mention that's part of the conversation is that because of the the December 11 signing date with the EDA documentation, they established a 120-day window, which gets us to April 10th. So that's what we're actually working on as our drop-dead day. Like, we got to get it done by then because that's when the EDA says it has to be done. Yep. And Michael has informed the state lands that that is a hard back-end date.
Yep. And then we can manage the DEP because the documents aren't effective until Kevin and I sign them. So if we can get these other amendment done and the transfer, we can tie them so they happen, frankly, simultaneously.
What if the insurance company plays hardball on the extension for 60 days? And you said that they might charge a lot, but what happens if that doesn't work out?
Well, we'll have to go to market. We'll have to get an early read on that and go to the market, and the market's going to see that claim history. That's the reality, right? So everyone's going to have your loss rights.
Yep.
Again, it's a subrogated claim. We'll see what happens.
Second question is, if we transfer before March 24th, we need to make sure that there's still insurance, even though we finish our responsibility.
Oh yeah, it's a claim. It's an occurrence date policy. Yes, so that claim doesn't disappear. It's not a claims made policy, and we made it anyway. So it's an occurrence date. So yeah, that policy and those benefits. Remember, I've already got $77,000 from our insurance company.
What I mean is that, let's say we do the transfer report March 24th, mm-hmm. The new owner is still going to need insurance coverage. We need, and even though it's not our responsibility.
Well, they're well aware. I mean, FSU is well aware of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, they're the new owner.
Okay.
Right. And I don't know if it's going to, remember, they self-insure a lot of buildings. The Research Foundation does a little bit different. They're all, both parties, FSU proper, if you will, and Research Foundation, are aware of the timing as well as that insurance.
Okay. All right.
Is that fair to say?
It makes perfect sense.
This is, Kevin's not here in this for the first time.
It makes perfect sense. Okay. All right.
So we are in the process of now transferring Build to Scale, the grant, if you recall. That is going through a process with FSU, having to submit documents, frankly, hopefully this week, to the EDA as well. Those were separate grants. Even though they're all tied to this building and the operating of the building, those are separate processes and separate people with the EDA. So we're working on that. FSU is now... I think the RDA has done what we're supposed to do under that, and FSU is really working on a couple of pieces. That's Valerie and a lady named Jenny Boussier, if I'm saying her name correctly, that are working on that with the EDA, and Rose Driver. And they've been great. Let's see. Ponds, as mentioned, Ponds and Rose have all been transferred, and that was effective on January 16th. So again, the last parcels that we control as the RDA are what's called our 5E, 6E, which is where the lab is, and this pond back here, 5.29 acres, and that's already been submitted. I've mentioned this a number of times, the declarant rights, CAM, DRC, PUD, we've started that process figuring out. Some of those elements will be transferred by contract. There's some others that may have to go and at least get an acknowledgement by DEP that we're working on that. We had a call last week with everybody seemed to be on that call. So that process has started. Do you want to give a 30-second, if possible, on 3F? Because they may hear about it again, they may not.
Sure. 3F, back in 2013, the RDA and FSU worked on the transfer of the building that currently houses FSU ITS, right next door. That agreement was drafted between the RDA and FSU. It didn't necessarily step back and reach back to the state lands. It didn't go to DEP. And so there is, in what we've been doing with all these other properties, we've been working with DEP to take things officially out of RDA and transfer them over to FSU or to FAMU. And when we did the ITS building, what didn't happen was a termination of the ground lease that is between the RDA and DEP, or TIF. That is what Partial 3F is. There's a ground lease. There's really no assets with it. It's just this lease that needs to get cleaned up. It's administrative.
And unless somebody has an objection, I do not plan to cover this at a board meeting or again, because this is some administrative documentation that we can deal with, DEP, Kevin and I.
It is of no importance.
No value, no impact. It's just a cleanup. Paperwork. Yeah. So unless you guys object, I'm not going to bring it up again. FEMA updates. We, as you guys recall, we did some work on the pond and the trail after the tornadoes that we had in 2024. May, we have got $39,000 obligated at FEMA, or the state now, which apparently means FEMA has paid the money to the state and we're trying to collect from the state. No one can give me any guidance on the timing or the expectation of when we will see that. We have another project on the trail, or debris removal rather, that was $11,000, our piece is $11,000 owed to us. That's making its way through the process. So I expect we'll have $50,000 in receivables from the state. We have $39,000 booked already. The other 11 is still making its way from FEMA to the state. We also recently transferred our claims associated with Johnson and Morgan to FSU and our claim associated with Collins to FAMU. So we are done with FEMA once they move their one, that little debris, $11,000 to the state level, and we're out of the FEMA deal. They haven't collected it from the state. And I talked to some folks at FSU that deal with FEMA on a bunch of things, and he said it could be tomorrow, it could be 15 years. So he was not super helpful in terms of when it will happen. He said it will.
Probably accurate.
He said it will happen. Yes, it will fall within those timelines. Yes, he felt confident with that. So that's where we are in FEMA, which is nice because at least we've got FSU and FAMU are chasing their own claims.
That's great. Eisenhower?
Eisenhower. I was hoping to have an updated report after talking to the folks at the development office at FSU, and I do not. I called Brad yesterday and did not hear back just to see where they are. I know they've been working on it. I believe they've had some conversations with Research Foundation and with FSU. Kevin may know more, but I do not have an update from Brad. Do you?
No, no update from Brad. What I will tell you is that I just closed on from FSU. I'm wearing my FSU hat, working on behalf of the FSU Research Foundation, just completed a transaction of the property right next door to Eisenhower of similar size, sold it to the neighbor, to North Florida Asphalt, at $60,000 an acre. It couldn't be a better comp. The properties are very, very similar in nature. They're walking distance apart from each other. They're on the same road. They're very similar comps.
Suppose we're going to get.
Yeah, $60,000 an acre is.
And we've got 18 acres, so you know that's around a 1-1 value of that property. And again, we're not making a donation from a deductive tax kind of approach, but we are hoping that the value of that would then be plowed back into the lab, the park, to advance the mission of the RDA. And so that's what I know Brad and those were working on. It's a little bit unique request. And if you recall at, I think, the prior exec meeting as well as a board meeting, we didn't want this to be in an endowment model where it was 4% a year forever. This was not supposed to be perpetual. So we wanted a faster burn. And so I think that's what Brad and them are trying to figure out. He never suggested that's something they couldn't do. I just think they were trying to make sure they prepared a document. And we wanted to incorporate that beneficiaries could be but the lab could be FSU, FAMU, and TSC. We wanted to reflect the three universities.
And most of the time when gift agreements are created, there's a statement of the intent of the gift. The gift, the donor wants the gift to be used for this purpose. And then there's a statement in there that says, if for some reason that can't happen, the vice president of research has the authority to reallocate or whatever. So we'll ask that it be used, assuming the board agrees, we'll ask that it be used for the purposes of investing in the mission of the lab, and then if for some reason the world changes.
Yeah. Yeah. We could give latitude to whoever gets to make that decision that an investment in research and development with the major universities and economic development, that those would meet our board's objectives.
And when that agreement is drafted, the board of governors will have the ability to review that and make sure the nature of the conditions right to give it to redirect it.
I would have liked to have had something today but if I do have something prior to the board meeting, I'll get the draft in front of the full board at that time. I would like to have you guys had a crack at it first, but that's just not going to be the case.
Okay. Apparently, the acquirer of your property has no interest in our property.
I couldn't speak to what that owner would or would not want to do.
Have we made any contact to that company?
No.
Asphalt company, you said?
Yeah,
it is. And this.
Remember, we weren't trying to generate cash.
I understand.
Yeah.
But cash wouldn't be all bad either.
It doesn't. Well,
it didn't solve any problems, I don't think. We didn't want to find ourselves in the midst of a transaction while we're trying to do some of the other things we're contemplating.
Yeah,
it's what we've done it before. And selfishly, on behalf of the RDA, if we go through a transaction, we will pay costs, closing costs associated with the transfer of that asset. That if we gift the property, we don't incur. I think that's a.
Okay.
There's more bang for our buck in terms of our being able to gift the full amount.
Yeah.
And I didn't mention back on the fire briefly, is that our exposure on the fire, based on where I think we are with all these, it's probably the $25,000 deductible. If somehow we lost all subrogation claims, right, that we'll still be on the hook for our $25,000. But effectively, we're within a few thousand dollars of covering all the mitigation, all of the repair. So the main exposure is really that we don't get our deductible.
But that's not on your plate. Our insurance provider is working with Pierce's provider to try to get that.
Yes, but if they don't get it, we still got to do the repair.
Yeah,
I got to get going on the repairs, and so I'll be on the hook for the $25,000 probably before we get subrogation money back. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know the timing of the process, but that could be an exposure for us. But it's $25,000.
How does that normally? Because I mean, our insurance provider is basically working on our behalf to get us the $25,000.
Well, get them. They're trying to get themselves the. Remember, they booked this at $165,000 problem. Our insurance company, which is the total value, including our. They didn't care about our deductible. That's the damage. They're going on a subrogated claim. They're going after Pierce's insurance for the whole $165,000.
Oh yeah,
we'll only get $25,000 because our insurance company's already going to have paid us everything but the $25,000. They're trying to get their money back.
But that effort is coupled together with our deductible, right?
Yeah. Well, that they're searching to get not only what they've paid us, but our deductible, our cost.
I hear that, sir. Okay.
So, and my hunch is if they get that, I don't know that they really would drop us, but I think they have to get on the record as soon as they can that tells them they're not renewing.
This is not my space, but if they're negotiating a price with Pierce's provider, the first thing that they're bargain away is our deductible.
For sure. Yeah, it's the most fair game, I would say, yeah.
Okay.
Because nobody loses. As far as the two parties that are negotiating, the guy that's losing isn't in the room, right?
Exactly.
The guy that's losing, he's not present for the conversations, right?
Yep, okay. Any other questions on number 9 for Michael? All right, moving on to new business. Any new business you haven't discussed already?
Yes, the page, the little single
page. Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
Again, I'm not going to walk through this, but you can see I've updated it with the fact that the roads and ponds have transferred, a lab date I've thrown on there at 3:15. I've added things about transferring potentially FEMA. The FEMA claims have been transferred to FSU and FAM. Could be the Piersica subrogation claim could get transferred. I don't know, right? I mean, I'm just trying to update this document as I go. And where I do believe will be, I think I already shared with David, it's not on the document. I've left our original numbers here. Lab transfer, if it transferred January 1st, we'd be at 690. Now I think we'll be at 690 if it transfers 331. So I think we'll be, you know, whatever that, $70,000 ahead. And then if it transfers by 531, I had on the original sheets from last year, 500 grand, I think we'll be closer to 620. So we're running, you know, a little better ahead.
That's great. Any questions?
I'm good.
We don't need a motion for this, it's just FYI.
That's right. And then, and remember, just a reminder for everybody that the budget for the lab, originally, that we put together was through 12/31. So when we start looking at our monthly financials, after for January, for February, we're going to at least be 35 grand behind per month was kind of our budgeted burn on the lab, net of $8,700 of revenues we would get for the lab. So, you know, it's $40,000 in expenses, less than $42,000, less than $8,000 revenue. And our operating budget for the park, or if you will, the RDA, ran through June. But we shared with everybody, it's about 35 grand a month for each of those things. So,
okay. Anything else? All right, this meeting's adjourned.